Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show this morning. Well, our guest this morning is none other than Professor Terry Benjamin. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
Oh, yes. Well, we're into week two of the new year.
Yes, believe it or not.
Boy, I tell you. It's starting already to go fast, so.
It is.
We want to make the best of it. Each and every day. So, we're here today continuing the discussion and talking about, you know, the overall theme I just so love, Sexy at 60.
Right.
New Year, a New You, Part 2. Okay. We're going to continue the conversation today, and I tell you, we had a great time last week and, you know, talking about just, you know, planning for the new year. We talked about so many things, talking about making those affirmations and making them stick. So I know you're going to continue. You have something to share with the people and... I just want to welcome you, listener, to the Coach Lalisa Show. Welcome to those who will tune back into the archives, join us in the chat room and on the switchboard. Good morning and happy week to you as well. So I hope you're ready to take lots of notes. I hope you got your pen, your pad, your pencil, or whatever you take notes with, because you know how my brother does it here. Information, valuable information that you're going to want to remember. And so as he continues through these discussions that are here to empower you, to enlighten you, and to educate you so that you can get everything out of your life. You know, Les Brown would say, you know, you want to live full and die empty. You
right,
want to
exactly.
get all of it. So he's going to help you, but you can't get rid of stuff that you don't really know is there. So this show is to help enlighten you and to help you to tap into your inner abilities and talents and gifts at any age. Certainly for those who are over 60, 60 and over, trust me, for some of you, it's like you're just getting started, if you're like me. So, Derry, I tell you, let's have what you want to share, and I tell you, I'm ready to talk back.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds really good. Again, good morning to you again. And it really is good morning because I believe that every morning is good because it's another opportunity to get this thing right. Life is to be lived, and we talk about the whole philosophy of sexy at 60. Well, what we're saying is basically that it's not just sexy at 60, but sexy at 60 and beyond, but you have to really take care of yourself so that when you get to be 60 and beyond, you can still live a full life. I'd like to begin with a quote from the French essayist Montaigne. Now, his dates are from the 1500s. As a matter of fact, he was 1533 to 1592. And he's often considered the father of the essay. He began writing essays to explain some of his ideas, and we've continued on, and we have some very famous essays today. But the thing he says that I want to start with, he says here, and I quote, he says here, the value of life lies not in the length of days, but in the use we make of them. A man may live long, yet live very little. Let me say that again. Montaigne, the value of life lies not in the length of days, but in the use we make of them. A man may live long, yet live very little. And that is true. I mean, just because you have a lot of years, that doesn't mean that you have a lot of life. That doesn't mean that you really live your life to the full. We began this discussion last week talking about resolutions, and I said that resolutions don't work. We should really think about affirmations. What I would like to do is really, again, sort of put out my, not New Year's resolution, but my New Year's affirmation. And again, I would say for our readers, it's a good thing to write these things down and basically to look at it, because every day I look at this statement that I'm about to read, it helps me sort of guide me through my day and guide me through my life. And I affirm for 2012, I will be a better leader in my family, in my classroom, and in my community. I will educate myself to develop my mind, body, and soul. I will make this my breakthrough year. I owe it to myself and my family and my community. And every morning I look at this affirmation. I say the affirmation out loud to myself in the mirror, looking at, in my own eyes, looking at myself, and realizing that this is what I want to have my life be about for this particular year. Now, the funny thing about it is the fact that as we look at these are ideas that we need to share with each other, because in the final analysis, I think that the more we share with each other, the more we can see what we're saying and we can share with other people so that they can see what we're saying, and that in the community of our thinking, we can make some great things happen. Just two things before I go into what I really want to talk about today. Two people I just want to thought two names, and we all know these people. The first name is Oprah Winfrey, and I want to talk about her Oprah Winfrey Network own. She has what she calls Super Soul Sunday, which she has like about 3 hours of good information that we can use. Oprah is now into her next chapter. She's done so much that she's now going into the next chapter and bringing in great thinkers, people that she speaks to who helps her and can also help us. Another name that I want to throw out to our listeners is Wayne Dyer. Okay? He is a person I never met. I read all his books. I really feel that's the footsteps of this particular man, because I really believe that he is someone who really has got this thing right in terms of what we should be thinking about, what we should be doing. And he has a new book coming out called Wishes Fulfilled. And the main idea about this book, the main principle of the book is simply this: to create something, you must first imagine it. To create something, you must first imagine it. It's from him I got the idea that when I'm writing a book, the first thing I like to do is actually produce a cover for that book and have that cover on my desk as I'm writing the book. It's almost like I've already written the book because the cover is already done, but it really motivates me to finish that book because in my mind, it's already done. And I think a lot of times we don't move forward on our dreams because they're not real enough to us. But again, to create something, you must first imagine it. It goes back to the whole idea of the book by James Allen entitled As a Man Thinketh, or As a Man Thinketh, or A Woman As She Thinketh, this is what comes about. But it can't come about unless you really think about it. And that's why it's good to talk about it, to talk about it, to think about it, and really to be about it. And what I like to do is just, as per our last conversation, I was talking about this. I didn't get a chance to really get into it, but I want to just put it out there and have you respond to it, and then if our listeners want to respond to it as well. One of the books that I cherish, one of the books that I read at least once a year and sometimes even more than once a year, and this book was published in 1937. And I do believe, Lisa, that there are some ideas, and many of the ideas found in the Bible, that never grow old. No matter where you're at in life, you'll find this to be true. Because, again, once it's said, once it's truth, once it's put out there, it cannot be refuted because it is truth. And so I go to Napoleon Hill in the book called Think and Grow Rich, which was actually produced in 1937. And in this particular book, he talks about the six steps to riches. Okay, so there's six steps. There's six things that we need to do to move to riches. When I say riches, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about riches in mind, body, and spirit. I'm talking about riches that cannot be taken away from us because there are riches that are within us. And really, they give us our true abundance. In the book, Super Rich by Russell Simmons, one of his main principles is that the more you give, the more that you get. So we should be looking for opportunities to give of our time and our talent and our thinking, our best thinking. And again, so I want to go into this whole thing with six steps to riches. And this is from Napoleon Hill. Six steps. Okay, the first step is desire. And what I interpret this to mean is you have to know what you really, really, really want. Now, a lot of people have a vague idea about what they want to do, what they want to do. But once that desire is focused upon, once that desire is seen in your mind, you can bring it into reality. So again, six steps toward riches, according to Napoleon Hill, the first step is desire. The second step is faith. And Wayne Dyer says something I always love when he says it. It says here, when you believe it, you'll see it. Faith that what you want your life to be can happen because you believe that it can happen. And no one can actually make you feel otherwise. You have the faith that these things are going to come to pass. So, again, number one step is desire. Number two step is faith. Number three step is audio suggestion. And when he says this, it's about programming your mind. What I like to do a lot of times, if I'm writing something, I like to go to bed with this on my mind. And when I wake up in the morning, that's why I like to write in the morning between like 6 and 12. Because in the morning, because you're not really involved in your day, your mind is a lot clearer. And if you have a thought that you took to bed with you, it is something that will be more fully realized in the morning. That's why a lot of times people have problems and they say, well, you know what, I need to sleep on this. Well, what they do, they go to bed and the subconscious mind works on this problem. So when you wake up in the morning, you have the answer because it's been working on it all night. So audio suggestion, you know, using the power of your mind to do the thing that you want to be done. Desire, faith, audio suggestion. And number four, specialized knowledge. Malcolm Gladwell, in a book called Outliers, says, and it's been said by other people as well, if you want to become a leader in your field, you must put in 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours seems to be a good measuring point, because again, I think most of us who are experts in our field, on top of our field, we've put more than 10,000 hours in it. But 10,000 hours is a good measuring in terms of putting in the time. You really can't really be good at anything unless you put the time into it. And so 10,000 hours is a good time. So again, but in specialized knowledge, what is the thing that you can do better than anyone else? And that's the thing that you would have to put your focus on. At one time, we thought that we had to be strong in all areas, and it was a thing where, okay, if you're weak in math, then try to be better in math. I'm terrible in math. You know, no sense in working in math because I'm not going to get any better at it, but there are other things that I can do that I spend more time in, and I make those things even stronger. So, again, specialized knowledge. Number five, imagination, okay? Imagination, be innovative. You know, like wow people with your thoughts, with your intellect. Imagination. Imagination can take us from here in New Jersey where it's cold to Hawaii where it's warm and the sky is blue and the water is clear and the sand is white. And I'm walking down this beach in my white linen shirt and white little pants, and I have on my black leather sandals, and I'm enjoying life to the fullest. Imagination. So I'll just take myself to a whole nother plane just by the power of my mind. So again, step one, desire. Step two, faith. Step three, audio suggestions. Step four, specialized knowledge. Step five, imagination. And the last one, the last step to riches, according to Napoleon Hill, is organized planning. I ask my students in this semester, what is your master plan? Do you know what you want, and do you know how you're going to go about getting it? You have to have a plan, okay? That's why when you go into business, they ask to see your business plan, because if you have people who want to invest in your business, they got to know where you're going. They have to know where you're going, so they invest money in you, but they expect a return on their money. But they can't get a return on their money unless you know where you're going, where you're taking this business. So organized planning, sitting down and plan. That's why one of the first things that I do in the new year is I get me a planner, a daily planner. So I look in this book. I also make sure in my wallet I have a little calendar because I want to be aware of my time. You know, I was watching a documentary on Joan Rivers, who is well up into her 80s right now, but she's still traveling. She's still doing her comedy and whatnot, and she has a big calendar in her office. And her job is to have something to do every day based on her career and her career goals. And so what happens is that she pulled up this big calendar, and every day there's something there. I would suggest that everybody get a planner and look at your month, look at your day, look at your year, and just to make sure that you're on track. A lot of times we get off track because we don't know where the hell we're going. So if you get some idea about where you're going, what you want to do, like I said, I affirm that this year I want to be a leader. I want to be a better leader in my family, in my classroom, and in my community. And the measuring stick from that is how much I give, not how much I receive. One of the ironic things about being a leader is not being in charge, but it's really being of service, to the people that you want to be of service to. I mean, I want to be of service in my community. There's a lot of things going on in Rawwood that I'm a part of, but it's because I allow myself to be involved with that. And my family, you know, my wife and my children, I have a blended family. I have children from two different marriages, and I try to keep everybody together because, again, I know it's important for the overall good of the family. And in the final analysis, I want to be a leader in my classroom because, again, when I say my classroom, it's not just what I do at Essex County College, at Union County College, but my classroom is my Facebook family, my Facebook community. Every day I try to post, and sometimes other people post on my page, which is fine because, again, it's all about us developing ourselves to our greatest good, and the greatest good is the good that we can have just for ourselves, but not just not for ourselves, but for our community. And one last thing for Wayne Dyer, I was reading this magazine. As a matter of fact, it's a free magazine called Natural Awakening. and they have an article on Wayne Dyer, and he just talks about not so much resolutions, but five intentions for the new year. And one of the things I like about this particular magazine, and I'll sort of close on this when we start having the discussion, you mentioned Les Brown when he said that we should die to the point where everything that we have in ourselves is empty. We've emptied ourselves. We've gone into ourselves, and we've given everything we have to give. And Wayne Dyer says that you should not die with your music inside you. Okay, get that music out there. Get that music out into the world. Because many of us have so many great ideas, but we never share them, so they can never grow. And the thing that Wayne Dyer says, which I love here, he says here, this is Wayne Dyer, he says that when you dance, your purpose is not to get to a certain place on the floor, is to enjoy each step along the way. And that's why, you know, when you hear good music and you want to dance, you shouldn't worry about how you look. You know, some people are so self-conscious, you know. They want to get out there and do what they can because they think, well, I don't know the latest dances or whatnot. But you know, if you move to the music, it's all right, okay, because you're doing what you would love to do and you're having fun. I mean, I know some people can't dance if you gave them $1 million, but they're having fun. I mean, sometimes children get up there, and that's why I love about children. I think that as we get older, we still need to hold on to some of our childlike attitudes and behaviors. Kids don't care. They come out
and you know what?
They sing and dance or whatever.
And you know what? So good about that too. That I, you know, thinking that you can, because if you think you're a great dancer, guess what? Yeah. You are.
Yes, that's it.
That's when you're living from the premise that your opinion of me is not more important than my opinion of myself.
Oh, that is great. That is great. You're right. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right.
You're right. Exactly. So, and that just goes with so many things. If you think you are going to be rich, guess what? You are. Because you can live, like you said, you can imagine yourself strolling along sandy beach or sitting on a sandy beach.
Yes.
Water crystal clear blue.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? You're there.
well, see, that's the thing, because, see, we can play a little trick on our mind because, again, that's why they said a virtual reality. When they train for to fly planes, they don't actually get in the plane. A lot of times, it's simulated. But that simulation helps them for the real thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. That's big time used in different types of training. They put you in those situations where it's virtual situation. Now we hear the word virtual all the time, but absolutely, you know, and I'm just loving all of this, you know, where your passions and desire and, Dr. Wayne Dyer is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw somewhere that, is he with an organization in Newark? Do you know?
I don't know, but, you know, it's just so funny because I think his ideas, you know, it's so funny that these people who are what I call thought leaders. You know, like, for example, this is a gentleman named Dave Ramsey. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he is a person who is big on financial planning. And he does a lot of seminars throughout the country. And the big thing right now is for people to become debt-free. You know, this is an idea that has been sort of kicking around, but it's even more because, again, we realize that we can do more if we're not stressed out. We're not worried about bills and credit cards and that kind of stuff. Relaxation is the key because when you're more relaxed, things come easier to you.
Yes. That's so true. Boy, is that so true. And you can think clearer. You can come up with, which will allow you to come up with more ideas when you are less stressful and more relaxed and at ease, as we used to say in the military, they would tell us to stand at ease. And so So we know what that meant because before we're on alert, and, you know, you're full alert, and it's at attention, they would call it. But when you got a chance to get at ease, it's like you're at rest, you're more relaxed. So absolutely, I tell you, this is good stuff. And for the beginning of the year, you know, it would be nice to start the year off right. But go ahead. That's good. Good. I like it.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, again, you said about the 6 steps to riches. And one of the things I like about it is faith, you know, faith. And I know for myself, one of the things that I plan to do is I'm going to do more spiritual reading. I'm going to get more into my spirituality because I realize that farm houses, basically, that's what it's about. You know, we have to understand that, you know, there's somebody bigger than us because I can't believe that, you know, we were just thrown together and we became the way that we are. Now, I don't believe that. I think there's someone who meticulously built our minds, our bodies, and our souls. And, you know, you have to give credit to that deity, whatever you want to call him. You want to call him a Jehovah or Buddha or whatever. I don't care what you want to call him, higher power, whatever. You have to realize that, you know, there's somebody greater than you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we know that the scripture in the Bible tells us all about faith. There is no question about faith to those people who are students of the scripture. And it says that faith is the very substance of what you hope for. And it's the very evidence of what you cannot see. So it's very clear, very plain.
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, I'm saying, but faith without works is dead.
Is dead.
Because that's what I'm saying. You know, it's good to have the faith, but the faith has to be translated into action. You know, you can talk about being rich or being super rich and that kind of thing. You know, a lot of things, but unless you bring these things to the marketplace, unless you find a way to make these things happen for yourself. And that's why I say it's not just for ourselves, because sometimes I think if we do things just for ourselves, it becomes very, I think, sort of stagnant. But when you do things for others, there's a movement. There's a movement in what you do. And I believe that if enough people, and they're doing this, if enough people think about becoming debt-free, enough people think about becoming more actualized, more transformative, rising to our higher self, you're going to see more of that. And the thing is, it's cool to have faith and to speak of spiritual things and not thinking that people are going to think that you're corny or whatever. It's cool because I know it looks good on me.
It's cool. And then for some of us, we already knew it was to do because we were told to do this. And we were taught, we were taught to have faith in our God and in ourselves. And you know, we were taught that faith is the, you know, it's the, what do you have, the initial thing. See, because you can have a bunch of work and then not have the faith to back it up. And that work is going to be, can be destroyed, can be taken. That's why so many people, when they lose all that they've worked for, guess what? They fall apart because they had no faith. And so what I'm saying is that faith has to be at the core. It has to be at the foundation. It has to be from the place from which you're starting, realizing that, you know, I can achieve this, or I can overcome this or that. Because that's why so many people who have built great businesses, legacies even, that they thought they were going to leave to their children and children's children, they never got a chance to do that because when they lost it, they completely fell apart. And they did not have faith to get back up and do it all over again. They just didn't realize that.
Well, that's why I love the example of Donald Trump, you know? I mean, he's not my favorite person, but he's a person who has lost millions.
Yes.
He's lost millions, and he got it back again. And that kind of thing, I think what happens, we all fall down, but the thing is not to stay down. That's the key. It's funny, and also have fun with it. Like, I mean, I know when I go ice skating. Okay, I'm not a great ice skater, but I'll try it, and I fall down. You know, I laugh and I get back up because I'm
having
fun.
Having fun. That's where that whole saying, you know, you're going along the journey and you're having fun along the way as you're discovering. I tell you, that is good stuff, people, really. And, you know, like you said, if the more and more people begin to work on themselves, personal development, self-actualization, as you're working on yourself, you automatically are going to be helping others around you, because, first of all, the people around you are the first people who are going to benefit from a better you.
Right, right. And now, but it's so funny because, you know, people ask me, you know, why do I think that Facebook is so popular? And it's so funny. I'll go back to the 1500s again, go back to Montague again. And he says there, which I think is so apropos. This was said in the 1500s. He says here that human understanding is marvelously enlightened by daily conversation with men, for we are otherwise compressed and heaped up in ourselves and have our sight limited to the length of our own noses. You see that? You know, we need to be enlightened daily, because if not, we'll be compressed and heaped up on ourselves. That's why, you know, when people have a pity party, it's usually just for them. You know, they don't usually invite people to the pity party because they want to just sort of marinate in this, you know. They want to feel better about themselves. That's why it's really important, you know, all jokes aside, it's really important for older people to be involved in some daily conversation, daily activities. It's in our isolation where we die, where we stop growing. You know, we're isolated from other people, other people's concern. We get so much into ourselves. That's why older people realize that the best thing you can do is to get out and help somebody else, because when you're helping somebody else, you're not thinking so much about yourself. You know, you're thinking about your aches and pains and that kind of stuff. And that's really one of the keys to life. The whole Sexy and Sixty philosophy is the fact that helping others, we help ourselves. You're so caught up in yourself that it's not good to be so consumed with you that you don't realize that there's other people that you can help, you know? You know, you don't have the pity party, because there's really no growth in that. It's growth in interaction. And it says here in the quotation that, you know, daily conversation, we're enlightened by daily conversation. If not, we are compressed and heaped up in ourselves. And we are limited to the length of our own noses, you know? That's all that we see, not realizing there's a whole life to be led. That's why I'm just so excited, because every day, whether I read something, whether I look at something, whether I talk to somebody, I'm enlightened. I'm drawn out of myself, and that, to me, is the key to a long life, realizing that, I mean, I live in expectation. Every day I expect something good to happen. I expect a miracle. And a miracle, according to Mary Ann Williamson, is just a change in perception. If I look at everything that happens in my life as a lesson, then everything is good. I mean, getting older. I mean, I told my wife, some days, you know, I feel like I'm 21. But some days I know I'm 61, but you know what? And I feel that. But I get something from there. There's a lesson in that. You know, 61 is not 21. But 61 is better, because I have opportunity to have accumulated more knowledge and understanding. But I'm still a babe in so many ways, because I'm always studying. I'm always studying, always learning. And once we think that we know it all, that we learn it all, we do begin to decay, and we begin to die, because really the mind says, you know, the body says, the spirit says, you know, there's no longer any use for me here in his life, and we begin to die. I don't mind aging. I mean, I believe in aging, but I don't ever want to get old. And to get old is to think that you know it all, and that nobody can teach you anything, and that nothing new to learn. That's why I love the example of Oprah Winfrey, her next chapter. I love the example of Wayne Dyer, you know, wishes fulfilled, okay? Mm. And I mean, and these things, these people, I mean, I know Oprah and probably Wayne Dyer too. I mean, money is no issue. I mean, they have all the money they could probably ever use, you know. But the thing is, they've never stopped growing, and they've never stopped giving. Wayne Dyer talks about not using New Year's resolutions, but he talks about New Year's intentions. And he gives five intentions. He says here for New Year, number one, commit to at least one daily experience where you share something of yourself with no expectation of being acknowledged or thanked. Just give somebody something because you want to give it to them. Number two, become conscious of all thoughts that aren't aligned with your source. Okay? If it's something negative, get it out of your mind. You know, some people dwell on the negative, and they sort of push out the positive. Number three, in the morning before you fully awake, and again as you're going to sleep, take 1 or 2 minutes of what I call quiet time with God. Since you're being in a state of appreciation, say aloud, I want to feel good. Number four, remind yourself of this statement, my life is bigger than I am, okay? There's a purpose for us to be here that is bigger than just what we are. And number five, dedicate your life to something that reflects the awareness of your divinity, okay? Dedicate your life to doing something that reflects God, or whoever you want to call your higher power. Because in the final analysis, I mean, I really believe that we're here for a purpose. I don't think we're here just by accident. You know, and I don't think we're just here just to do what we want to do just for ourselves and just to be selfish. I believe that we're here for a purpose, and I believe, and it's funny because a rapper said this, Ice Cube said this. He said here, you know, our purpose in life is to find out what we're here for, okay? And once we find out what that purpose is, then it's up to us to do that purpose. You know, actually, you know, again, we had a whole conversation on my Facebook page about what is your job, what is your work? And I define your job as your 9-to-5, but your work is what you do if you never got paid for it. And you said, and I remember your quotation, you said, my work is to help others. And Lisa, you know there's a lot of people who need help, right? So you have a lot of work.
Yes.
You'll never be out of work.
And I believe I specifically said something like helping others who help others.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Yes, so people, I love helping people who are those who are out there helping other people for some odd reason. I like, because it's something about that group that, you know, once you pour it out, you know, you need somebody to pour back into you. Or, you know, once you've been busy helping other people, now you need someone to encourage you. So I just absolutely love that.
Because, see, the caregivers need care as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, like, for example, my granddaughter, you know, I mean, she has a baby. So what happens, you know, we know, and it's so funny, you know, that's why sometimes I when I go to speak, I look at my audience and I say, you know what, you know, I don't know what's happening with your life right now, but at one point, somebody loved you unconditionally, because as a baby, all you did was cry and invest in yourself and just be, that's all, you know. But somebody brought you through that. And again, the way it is with my daughter-in-law, she's tied to the house, okay? She is tied to that house. And that's why, you know, my wife said, look, you want to get out for a little while and, you know, maybe just get some air in your face, or maybe just, you know, go to the mall for a little while and come back, you know. You know, I wouldn't want to switch places with her, because I know what that is, you know, getting up at all crazy hours of the morning and night and whatnot. But I can relieve you a little bit so you can come back and try to do. So, again, so the caretakers need care. And we got to be aware of that, you know, because you take care of somebody else. Man, my wife, she works at a children's specialized hospital, and these kids need constant care. You know, some of them are blind. Some of them have a different – she has one child that's a victim of the shaken baby syndrome, you know, so this child is almost a vegetable. But that person – but there's still a person there, and a person has to be taken care of, you know. And my heart goes out to my wife, because I can't do that. I mean, I probably could, but I'd be breaking down every day. Every day I come from work crying, you know, because of these poor children, you know, because what they kind of lost, they have to leave. But you know what? Somebody has to take care of them. Somebody has to take care of the caretakers, because if not, these people burn out, And they burn out and they can't help anyone. That's why we got to know when to take a time out. That's why we got to know when to be serious and when to be silly. Because when I'm in my classroom, I'm serious, but we're having fun. We're laughing. We're having fun because, you know, you got to know when to take that break. Because there's so many people, you know, in our field who have been burnt out and never recover because, you know, for some reason there was no one taking care of the caretakers. And I think, again, maybe for 2012, I'm going to fall down. I'm going to look for people who need help helping others, you know, because, again, that's why, you know, when you go to church, I mean, and people are saying we should pray for our pastor. I didn't really understand what that meant. But what it meant said, pray for her, because they have a big responsibility.
Yes.
And they're human. You know, they're not perfect. And nobody on this earth is perfect. So they have their problems and whatnot. And although they're leading the congregation, they're leading the spiritual education, they need help too. They need prayers to make them strong.
They need someone on their side. They need someone on their side.
Of course. Yes.
Someone to lean on, someone that they can even confide in. And a lot of times they don't get that because but that's a whole other, we could do a whole show on that.
because, I mean, again, it seems so logical because, again, the more you give, the more you receive, but you still got to give, and that giving is expending energy, and that energy, you know, is physical energy as well as is spiritual and mental. I mean, to see someone drain physically, mentally, and spiritually, you know, and having no idea of rejuvenation, that's why vacations, time out are so important, you know. We have a culture of workaholism. And again, and at one time I thought I was a workaholic, but I realized I'm not because I know when to take a break. You know, I know when to step away from the desk or to go downstairs and see what's happening, you know, my wife and family, when they go out to take a walk around the block or whatever, do what I have to do to just to rejuvenate myself, because in final analysis, I mean, you help nobody. Nobody's helped by you burning out, you know. Nobody's helped by you just being to a point where you really can't do what you were put here to do. You help no one, and you definitely help yourself. So, yeah, again, the same for 2012, and I want to follow with you. You know, help the caretakers take care of themselves, because
absolutely. That's it's one thing to, you know, go to work and just, you know, manage a bunch of papers, but when you have to go and daily, you know, deal with other people's lives and their problems and their situations. You've poured out. You've emptied out every resource you got inside. just to deal with one person, it takes all you got.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's so funny because when students tell me, you know, Professor Benjamin, I love your class, but the other class is boring. I said, you know, it's not boring. It's just that you haven't pulled out what that teacher has to give you, because all teachers, okay, all people, especially in the teaching profession, they have specialized knowledge that you need, but sometimes just because you have knowledge doesn't mean that you could be a teacher, because there's a whole another thing about teaching. But the thing is that teacher is a resource for you, and you as a student need to pull it out, because see, you need more than what you need what he has more than he needs you. Okay, let's put it that way. You need what he has, so you have to ask him questions. Now you're sitting back in the back of the room, you know, laughing and joking and wasting your time, you know, talking about how boring the class is. Well, that's boring because you don't participate. Because if you participated, the energy in the classroom, when people participating, when people are raising their hand, when people are talking and talking over each other and whatnot, trying to get their ideas out, and they finish the class, and, the class is over. They can't wait to come back. See, that's where the true teaching comes in, because, again, everybody is participating. That's why when I start my class, I start with a question of the day. And everybody has to answer the question, even just a yes or no. But everybody, what's your name? My name is so-and-so, and I think so-and-so. And, again, we go around the room, and it takes a little time, but that's okay. That's okay, because, again, that's part of the of the training. That's part of the learning, the sharing that we have with each other. Because, again, I mean, I may be 61, somebody else may be 21, but they have a body of knowledge that I don't have, because this is something that they learn within their lifespan, you know. And they may have some specialized knowledge. I mean, we had one girl in my public speaking class. She was a balloon artist, you know, she would actually make balloon sculptures, you know. She had everybody making a balloon sculpture. I never made a balloon sculpture before, but, hey, you know, why not, you know?
Oh.
You know, I mean, I'm for anything. I mean, I may not be the best at it, but at least I try, you know.
Yes. Awesome. Wow. So, yeah, I tell you, and, you know, and it's so important to really, really, you know, just take the risk and tap into what it is that you love doing. So I love when you, you know, started out talking about what do you desire? You know, what are you passionate about? And the earlier you start focusing on that, I think the better you'll get an opportunity to actually live out for a longer time period that passion, that desire, and doing what it is you really love.
Yeah, because that passion, that's energy, you know. When somebody is passionate and enthusiastic, you sort of pull them along, you know. You go to church sometimes and you might feel a little down and whatnot, but you get in there, you get around other worshipers or other, you know, spiritual thinkers, and you get sort of wrapped up in it. If they got a good choir, it's almost like going to a concert, you know, because most churches are some big churches and some of the mega churches. I mean, they have singers, they have a band. I mean, they have horns, they have, you know, they have drums, they have keyboards and whatnot. I mean, it's a production, you know. Then the minister is not just speaking from the Bible, but he's speaking out practical things. I mean, I was introduced to Success Magazine from a pastor who quoted from that particular magazine. And so they realized that, you know, it's not just about the spiritual, but it's also about the physical as well. And you can't get away from it, because a lot of things I know in my life, and probably in your life too, I mean, I can't explain them logically, okay? I can't explain where I'm at right now. I mean, I know I've done some things right. I've done a whole lot of things wrong, but they came out to a good thing for me, and not just for me, for my family. But I can't tell you exactly what it is, because I'm still trying to figure it out. But I know the big thing was that I was open. I was open to the change. And like you said, you said a beautiful thing, said we need to take a risk, okay? A lot of people don't want to take a risk. I tell my kids, you know what? People who don't make any mistakes don't do anything. Because if you're doing something, you're going to make mistakes. Okay, sometimes mistake is big, sometimes the mistake is small. But if you're doing something, if you're living your life, you're going to make some mistakes. But then, yeah, that's part of life. If you're not living your life, then I think it's kind of boring because you're compressed in yourself. You're not sharing yourself. And this life is, the more you share, guess what? The more you get, man. It's no way to get around it. You know, you got Bill Gates, who his job is to give money away. He developed this big empire, but his biggest job is as a philanthropist, giving money away to different foundations and whatnot, you know. And him and his wife, you know, to build, and him and his wife have this foundation. And all they do is give money away, because he realizes that, you know, I can't, you know, what can I do? I can't take all this money with me. So let's make this money count for other people. And, you know, they don't have to do that, but they realize that, you know what, that's what it's about. Because you match his fortune, but for what? It gets ridiculous, because how many houses can you live in at the same time? How many cars can you drive at the same time, you know? In a Chinese proverb says here, if you realize that you have enough, you are truly rich. If you realize that you have enough, you are truly rich. Okay?
All right.
Enough
like
is enough. I mean, enough is enough.
Exactly.
You know?
What can you do more? You can't do it. Do with what you got. What are you going to do with more?
Exactly. That's why, you know, we talked about before in the Bible, you know, the parable of the talents, you know.
Yes.
Each slave was given a certain amount of talents. And one slave said, I'm going to be slick with this. I'm just going to bury it. Okay?
Yes.
But that was a point you didn't bury. It was a point for you to make that grow. Okay? To make it grow, because you, it's like burying your talents. You have all these talents and skills and ability, but you don't tell anybody. You know? You don't tell anybody, and they can't help you. That's the thing that Jack Canfield says, you know what? That we have to learn how to ask, you know? And, you know, if someone says no, all that means is you're asking the wrong person.
That's all.
That's all that means, you know? I mean, and he says, you know, next, okay? If I hear no, I say next. You keep on going next until somebody says, you know what? You know, what you're trying to do is crazy, but you know what? I'm on board with that, okay?
Yeah.
And I'll give you the money that you need. I'll give you the context that you need to make that come about. Because, again, I mean, we got to be able to be willing to take a chance. And also to be, like, I know when you're learning a new dance, you know, you look silly, okay, until you master it. You know what I'm saying? So you might as well enjoy being silly, because you can be silly a lot longer before you can master. Some things come to you naturally. Most things don't.
And you know what, too? That's the point about that. Go on, because if, even though you're feeling silly, you're growing, you're developing.
Oh, yes,
and before you know it, you're an expert. But if you had stopped at that feeling silly, you would have never gotten to the expert status.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, and if you think about teaching, it's really scary. Because, I mean, for me, the best day of the semester is the first day of class. Because in that first day, I have to establish myself, and I have to establish the direction of the class. I mean, you're a leader in the class, okay? And the thing is that you have to really come before these people who you don't know, and you got to sell them on this idea that you're trying to develop. And it, and if you think about it, it's kind of scary, because people are looking at you, looking at what you wear, you know, looking at your face.
So you got them hands down in that area, though. You can't go in there looking, because you know first impressions are lasting, so that's
exactly.
For a teacher, that should be a no-brainer to wear, to care for anybody, to me, in front of an audience.
Right.
All eyes are on you.
That's the point. And that's why, you know, whether it's 30 people or 30,000 people, in that first minute, you have to set the tone for the whole semester.
And
very scary proposition, but you know what? You do it.
Yeah, and you know what? We're in the same boat in that sense. And here's one of the things that I found to be an easy way. This is what I do. I do this without fail every single class. And it pretty much, you know, I don't know if the students learned anything, but I pretty much have a high completion. I have a high completion ratio of my students.
Yeah.
Okay, at the end, for the end of the semester. Now, whether they walked away with any knowledge, but here's what I do. Now, I do this without fail every single semester.
Yeah.
The first thing I do is I go into the room, and before, I don't, and I'm sure you do this as well, I don't tell them a thing about LaLisa.
Yes.
I don't even tell them my name. Immediately have each, now I waste a little time doing this, but I feel it's
no, but
critical.
It's not a waste of time. No.
I have each and every student, I take the time to go around the room, whether there's 15 or whether there's 30, and everyone has basically gives me a bio of themselves out loud.
Wow.
Each and every student. And if it takes up the whole class, that's fine with me. Whoever joins, and whoever joins, I make them, like if somebody comes on the second class, I let them know what we did, and I make them introduce themselves and where they work, what's their major, what college they plan to go when they leave Essex, or any other future long-term goals, and they got to say things right then and there. And so I think what happens, tell us where they work, I begin to do a little probing about what happens on their job and what happens, you know, make some funnies about it, or if there's any correlation between. And that's, you know, to me, that is what, you know, gets students to feel as though, you know, I'm important here.
Well, I do the same thing, because what you do is you develop the rapport, and the rapport is such that, you know, it's not about me, okay?
Right.
It's really about you. I mean, I'm here to be of
service
to You hired me, okay? You didn't hire me to make you feel bad, make you feel stupid or whatnot. You hired me to improve your writing or your public speaking or your reading or whatever. You hired me, and you know what? I want to give you the best that I have.
And then you're right. So then afterwards, later, you know,
mm-hmm.
when everyone else is done, and then, of course, mm-hmm. we have to present our credentials to you,
of course,
because then
yeah.
students are for always student in the back of students' mind. It's always
mm-hmm.
there. Every student
course,
has this in the
of
back
course.
Of his mind.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
can you teach me, and what gives you the right to teach me anything?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, yeah.
I believe you absolutely have to put out there what your credentials are. I just believe you put them first. Therefore,
you should. But you know, but it's interesting because I know at one time I used to be very casual in terms of, well, you can call me Professor Benjamin or you can call me Mr. Benjamin, you know. But I realized that, and one student, I said, well, you know, you can call me, you know, you can, I tell him, I said, you can call me Terry. He said, no, I can't do that. He said, you know what? You're a Professor Benjamin, and you've accumulated this knowledge, and you have these credentials and whatnot, and I want to give you credit for that. So I can't call you Terry. I can't call you Mr. Benjamin. I got to call you Professor Benjamin. And you know what? That made me stop for a minute and think that, you know what? Yeah, you know, he needs that probably
right.
more than I do, okay?
Right.
Because he
exactly.
wants to know, okay, this is the professor. And this is giving me, and he gives me respect and everything else that I need. And I think sometimes, and that's why sometimes, you know, when we have our pastors and our ministers and we have our bishops and these people, we want to give them, call them by their title because, you know, they deserve that. You know, just like my mother and my father. I don't call my mother or father by their first name. I know their name, you know. But that's mom and that's dad. And for me, that's more important than Daniel and Carol, you know. You know, because when I say my father, that for me, that means a lot. I say my mother, that means a lot more than that actual person there, you know, and that's giving them honor and respect as well, you know.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
what does the time go?
I told you, you need a 2-hour show. So it, just to recap on, you know, some of the main points you
yes.
brought out today, so you have about 2 minutes to do that.
Well, basically, affirmation, not
yeah.
resolutions, 6 steps to riches, desire,
yes.
faith, order, suggestion, specialized knowledge, imagination, and organized planning. And we'll talk some more about that. But the thing is, new you, new year, breakthrough. That's
yes.
it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's a great wrap-up there. So to summarize, you know, make those affirmations, affirm every day that you're going to be great, that you're going to do great things. Don't forget to plug in the 6 steps to riches because, remember, the more you have, the more you can give. And the more that you produce with yourself, you're helping others also to produce. And then the third thing is it is a new year. It is a new you. Look at it as if every day is another day to get it right. So don't worry about yesterday's failures and where you messed up. Today is a new day to get it right. And so we're so grateful and thankful that you were tuned in with us. And Terry will be back next Tuesday. Next Tuesday you can go back and listen to any of the archives if you have missed any right here on the show. Or you can, and also you can tune in on Thursday. So Tuesday morning at 7, Thursday at 10 p.m., actually 10 p.m. So that's all we have time for. Take care, Terry. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Have a great week. We'll see you on Facebook.
Of course, please, yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. We are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, There ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.